Well, prior to our research, it was thought that these birds really couldn't be tracked because you've seen the size of their beaks, and they're very inquisitive birds, and they allopreen each other, and just one snip with that beak and the tracker would be off. But we've designed a technique using tail mount transmitters that enables us to be able to attach the transmitters and have them retained for very long periods of time. So far we've had birds that have had the transmitters on them for up to 8 months, and we believe that we could really have these transmitters on for well over a year, possibly to 18 months. It's really dependent on when they molt out their tail feathers.
And that means that you, if you fit a tracker to the right part of the bird, it will stay there.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite amazing. With the design we've developed and the way we've attached it, they really seem to leave them alone. And they preen the antenna as if they're preening one of their feathers. So it's thankfully, given that the transmitter devices are so expensive. What we're hoping to do is have a very large-scale research project that will focus on tracking all three black cockatoo species over the long term so that we can identify critical feeding and breeding habitat.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about where we are, because where we're standing here, there's a sort of microcosm of black cockatoo habitat. I mean, we're on the Murdoch campus right near a busy main road, but with all of the tall trees we've got around, we've seen and heard the birds flying around. So where do the birds live? We've got an example that we can see in one of the trees above us. So can you explain what we're looking at?
Okay, so we have, on our campus, we have the red-tailed black cockatoos, and we also have the carnabies that migrate in during the non-breeding season. We've been very fortunate. The red-tails are actually resident. It's quite interesting. They moved in about 5 years ago. They never used to be found on the Swan Coastal Plain, but they've adapted to eating some exotic plant species, and they've moved from the forest areas onto the Swan Coastal Plain. So we have about 70 to 80 red-tailed black cockatoos that live on our campus. Because they're residential in nature, as compared to the other black cockatoo species which migrate, they also can breed. And we have the first recorded breedings of black cockatoos on the Swan Coastal Plain. Each year, the birds have produced one chick on campus. And what you see here is an artificial nest hollow. So normally black cockatoos will nest in hollows in trees that are a couple of hundred years old. Obviously, here on the Swan Coastal Plain, we don't have any trees that are of that age. And therefore, one of the conservation strategies involves putting up artificial nest hollows so that the birds can use them for breeding while there's revegetation programs going on and restoration programs out in the regional areas and other breeding grounds.
So can you describe the design of these artificial nest hollows? It looks very much like almost like a large letterbox, like a cylindrical letterbox stuck to the side of this tree. How do you design it?
So they're actually large black polytube pipes made out of plastic. But, you know, there's a lot of thought that's been put into the design of them. They actually have, you can see a little bit of wood poking out the top, and that's a chewing stick. It's very important to provide the black cockatoos with a chewing stick. They will chip away at that as part of their natural behaviour, and they'll create a substrate bottom of the nest which is full of wood chips.
Galah just moved into that nest box.
And this is one of the issues when we talk about threatening factors for black cockatoos. One of the many threatening factors is competition with other more common parrot species for nest hollows, and we can see the galah are peering in and checking out that artificial hollow.
It looks like it'll make a nice home. So we've seen where they live, so maybe we should go and have a look for these resident black cockatoos and see if we can spot them as well.
That sounds good.
Oh, so we've got three in the tree above us. Can you just describe what these birds look like? I mean, they're huge. They're really striking.
They are. They're large birds. They're large black birds. And you can see as that one fans its tail, it's a male, and it's just got panels of red that are just the tail feathers are pretty much all red except for the tip of the tails. So they're incredibly striking and iconic birds, and I think it's really special that, you know, we have these threatened species that we see on a daily basis. I mean, I think this is one of the reasons that the community has such a strong affiliation with these birds and feels so strongly about conserving them, is because they're literally in their backyard, and that is rarely the case with many of the threatened species that we work with.
And you can hear from the traffic noise in the background, just I think you maybe get an impression of just how closely they live to urban development. How much of a problem is that for the birds? How much pressure is that putting on their habitat?
The fact that these birds live in an urban environment has challenges in its own right, in the sense that that increasingly there are a large number of birds that are being hit by cars, and those birds are taken to Perth Zoo Veterinary Department for treatment and rehabilitation. We find though that you can manage an urban environment to reduce the likelihood of the birds being hit by cars. Take, for example, here on the campus, we have had issues in the past where we have potholes in the car parks and the birds will come down and drink out of those potholes. Our sustainability office is very diligent about making sure potholes are filled in. Also in urban environments, if you make sure sprinklers are facing away from road verges into the into bush, not so that they're not dribbling on the side of roads, then the birds will be watering away from the roads rather than sitting in the middle of the road drinking, where they're likely to get hit by cars.
So there's quite simple things that you can do. And also, I guess it makes it more pleasant to drive around campus on a nice, smooth, well-maintained road, and then also the birds don't have watering holes that put them in harm's way.
Absolutely. I mean, there have also been moves taken to provide supplementary watering points away from roads. And in some of the really busy roads around the Perth metropolitan area, there are moves to put up signs of a sign indicating black cockatoos, just to for traffic calming purposes, to make sure that people are more aware and slow down when the birds are around feeding by the road verges.